Hello, Mind Bloomers! This is Mind Bloom, the safe space at the intersection of mental health advocacy and breast cancer awareness. Mind Bloom is your podcast. Come back weekly and listen to my guests as they reflect on their close encounters with emotional disorders and breast cancer. Not an easy task, but we promise to make your mind bloom. Hello, Mind Bloomers. This is Marina G, your host, and this is Mind Bloom. Please remember, the content provided by Mind Bloom is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking medical treatment because of any content referenced or authored by Mind Bloom You. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of Mind Bloom. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. This is my second time recording it live, and it's complicated. This is not simple. This is not easy. Look, I had to do my makeup, which you probably can't tell because that's how impeccable it is. And I prepped. I have my notes here, and I have my mic going. I have my headset ready. Garima's just joined. Hi. And it's such a pleasure to be starting again and being live here with you again. Today, I want to talk about things like perfectionism, people-pleasing, and codependency. I don't know if they all fit in the same category, but they're very close to me, all of these three issues, things, problems that I encounter throughout my day, and I would imagine they are pretty close to you guys at home as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't follow Mind Bloom because you know it's all about mental health and mental wellness. Hi, Sammy. Good to see you all the way in California. I was just saying that today we're going to be talking here on this room, on this live, we're going to be talking about perfectionism, codependency, and people pleasing. I was saying, I don't know how they, what they have in common, all of these three, but I know I struggle with all three, and I want you guys at home to let me know if you do. So just like raise your hand or send an emoji of some sort to let me know if you feel the same way, that you struggle with these as well. And so let's talk, let's tackle perfectionism first. We like to say and throw it out there that, oh, I'm such a perfectionist. Oh, I do this. I mean, I can't publish a post, for instance, on Instagram until it's beautifully finished, and it takes me 8 hours to get it wrapped up. And I'm such a perfectionist. And we throw it around. We all think of ourselves as perfectionists. Hi, Penguin, cold caps. We all think of ourselves as perfectionists. We all, or most of us, we all struggle with that. But I was thinking about that this weekend, and the truth is, this perfectionism may be rooted in much deeper causes. Because you see, perfectionism is really a coping mechanism, or can be a coping mechanism. And what that means is that we're probably hiding underneath whatever this technique is, whether perfectionism or codependency, people pleasing, we may be hiding under these things to hide much deeper issues, which could be linked to childhood trauma, a life-changing event, situation that occurred, could be a cancer diagnosis, could be job loss, could be, hey, a pandemic. So we're basically all under or very vulnerable to PTSD and to trauma these days. So the way we use perfectionism is that by becoming this person who is so minutely consumed by the details of whatever task they're doing, by doing that, you forget or you decide to put aside the underlying issue. So by doing that, you're not really thinking within, you're not looking within, and you're not addressing that problem. So let me go, guys, if this resonates with you at all. And if you struggle with perfectionism in one way or another. Another thing I'd like to talk about today is people pleasing. How many of us are scared of saying no? How many of us are scared to disrespect someone or feel we're stepping anyone's boundaries? How many of us? How many of us walk into a room and we immediately take the temperature of that room and we act accordingly? We will be, okay, people in this room are like, I feel the tension. It's like people are like upset, depressed. I don't know. What is this? So like it's negative somehow. So let me go and get myself into this negative mode as well. And maybe like throw in some complaints or some, let me vent a little bit. Let me be in sync with this room. And sometimes it could be a very energetic and positive room. And all of a sudden, woof, we're up there and feeling so positive as well. Who else feels this way? Who else has something to say about this? I would like to talk about codependency now. How many of us, and this is so related with people pleasing, how many of us will accept to be the caregiver and the keeper of other people who may be struggling with their own issues, but we feel we have to fix it. We can fix it, and we will do everything in our power to fix it, even if that means dying for it or losing ourselves, losing our personality as we do that. That for me is, I think, the main definition of codependency is feeling we are nothing or we don't have an identity if we are not related to this particular person or group of people even, and that we cannot function if our identity is not somehow linked to helping others and doing things for others. And that is fine. There's a lot of value in doing things for others, but you have to heal yourself first. You have to be well first for yourself. And then you have the time and you have the ability to serve others, but in a giving way, in a generous way. And if you feel you really want to do that, but it should never come from a place of dependency where your life or your living, your identity depends on supporting that other person or mending that other person, making them feel good about themselves. Because the truth is that other person can only feel good about themselves if they do the work to feel good about themselves. That will lead to them feeling good about themselves. And we should do that for ourselves too. That's what we should do. That's why I keep talking about therapy or speaking with someone, even if not a professional, but speaking with someone, a coach perhaps, who's informed, who knows better, who can maybe lead you and guide you into finding some answers. And that's why I am a big champion and I like to talk about, well, like I said, therapy, psychiatry as well, why not? And tapping into yourselves, meditation, prayer, just being silent with yourself and trying to understand what really is going on. I, for one, find it hard to do that. It is hard. I will put on, you know, perfectionism before anything else, and I will try not to look deeper inside before I do all the other things. Oh, now I have an Instagram live. I can't. Now I have to post this on social media. Can't. Oh, meditation? No, because I have an interview to do now. Can't. But we have to. We have to. Yeah. And we keep saying that the only way to conquer challenges is through, and indeed it is through. We need to get through the tough moments to be able to heal. So I was talking about perfectionism and codependency and people pleasing. And the reason I also thought about talking about these things today is because I'm reading this book. It's called The Other Side of Perfect, and it's by Debbie Emick. She's going to be my guest on tomorrow's episode, on episode 41 of Mind Bloom. And I'm reading her book, and it's unbelievable, for lack of a better word. It's breathtaking, and it's so illustrative of what, for instance, I have felt growing up, and I have felt in this journey of mine of knowing who I am now. Hello, mental health coach. Good to see you. I was saying that this weekend I was reading this book. It's called, because I know it's upside down, or The Other Side of Perfect by Debbie Emick. And it's, the subtitle is Discovering the Mind-Body Connection to Healing Chronic Illness. And it's so much more than that. It really is so much more than healing chronic illness. Because Debbie talks about her childhood trauma, her adolescence, her going into adolescence years trauma, and what she underwent at the mercy, I want to say, of very immature and very irresponsible parents. And this, in her understanding, is that her condition, her chronic illness, or her autoimmune condition, was caused by these things, by the suppression, rather, of the pain she was feeling, the suppression, the silencing, the encapsulating and categorizing the pain you're feeling may lead, according to Debbie, and I believe that so as well, may lead to chronic illness, to chronic pain, to autoimmune disease, such as lupus and many others. And hey, perhaps cancer as well. So this is a beautiful account of how a woman struggling with her own past and you know, trying to make sense of her past, her growing up, while positioning herself as the parent of the parents, how that has damaged her and to which extent it caused grief and pain and harm at her very core. I use the word damage, but I don't mean to say that Debbie is damaged. I just mean to say that it's very hurtful, that trauma. And I, for one, can say I relate, I remember, I too have those feelings of abandonment and negligence and abuse seared in my own skin and perhaps at the cellular level. So guys, I would like to recommend that you read this book by Debbie Emick. It's called The Other Side of Perfect. I'm not affiliated in any way, shape, or form. Debbie is just the person I interviewed for this episode, episode 41 of Mind Bloom. And I'm just recommending you to listen to the episode that comes out tonight at midnight, or Tuesday, I like to say, a new episode every Tuesday. And as you listen to the episode, please check out Debbie as well. She's here on Instagram as Imperfect Progress. And she's a pleasure to speak with and to learn from. I really, really recommend this book. So I thank you all for stopping by, for coming and saying hi. I love you all. I hope I can see you again next week, Mondays, every Monday, the live tapings of Mind Bloom, every Monday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, from here, New York City, snowy New York City. Have a beautiful day, you guys. Take care. Bye-bye. Hello, Debbie. Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Marina. I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have this nice chat with you, and I'm grateful that you are having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to Mind Bloom. What makes your mind bloom, Debbie?
I love that question. I guess what comes to mind first off is I just try to seek inspiration. So when I'm reading, when I'm on any sort of social media, when I am processing information, I'm just always looking for inspiration. And from there, I can hope to inspire others as well.
I'm sure you do. You have inspired me already. I have not read it yet, but I know I will. You are a published author. You have a wonderful book on chronic illness, on overcoming this dreaded feeling of perfectionism, of always having to be there for others, the people-pleasing aspect of life that I think so many women especially can relate to. So could you start by telling us the name of your book and what it is about better than I do, because I messed it up completely.
Oh, not at all. Thank you for that, your kindness and that generous introduction. The book is called The Other Side of Perfect, Discovering the Mind-Body Connection to Healing Chronic Illness. And it's really about this journey I went through. About 10 years ago, I started navigating these long, windy roads of autoimmune discovery, diagnosis. And at one point, I found myself taking 9 different prescription medications 3 times a day and feeling worse than when I began. And so slowly I started taking my power back a little bit, discovering what I could control, with what I was doing and in my environment and working on adjusting those things. So, you know, like my food, my exercise, working on supplements and decreasing toxicity. And eventually this conversation I had with one of my doctors led me to decide to step away from my job. I had been a classroom teacher for 14 years, and I thought this will be the magic bullet. This will be it. This will cure me. I will be so much better because I will eliminate the stress from my life. And it wasn't until after that that I found myself in this deep, dark place, feeling hopeless, like I didn't really want to go on, and like things might be better if I wasn't around, you know, expensive healthcare costs, just chronically ill. And so from the other side of that, it was sort of me clawing myself out of that dark hole, not wanting to perpetuate cycles or create new cycles for my own children, never wanting to go back there, that led me to a deeper sense of health, right? So I had to understand that I had developed these people-pleasing tendencies, perfectionistic ways of being as a coping mechanism for some repressed emotions, repressed trauma I had never dealt with. And so working on my mental, emotional health meant discovering these things, finally dealing with those things I had never dealt with. And it just so happened that I also started to feel my body healing. So some physical pain that I had just held for so long, lived with for so long, began to leave my body as I worked through this more emotional side of healing.
That's so beautiful. So just for clarity, if it's okay that I ask, what was your diagnosis?
Sure. Eventually, I learned that I have something called mixed connective tissue disease. So there are markers for that, which for me means a combination of lupus and another specific and rare autoimmune disease called relapsing polychondritis that specifically attacks cartilage. And for me, it had destroyed the cartilage in my lungs, which means they collapse when I breathe out. And the prognosis for that was very bleak. The treatment's not so great. And eventually then I was also diagnosed with something called pulmonary hypertension, which is high blood pressure in the lungs, which quickly leads to heart failure. So I kind of had this weight of these expensive, first of all, diagnosis, you know, treating them, and also just very bleak prognosis on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Just overnight and without having the physical wellness to deal with that, because that's the problem and with cancer as well, is that you are ill, you feel ill, and therefore you're probably not going to be ingesting the healthiest of foods, or if any at all, you're not sleeping well. You have running thoughts going through your mind of fear and anxiety, really, of what's going to happen in the near future. So I really understand what you mean by bleak. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then when you say you clawed out, and that's a beautiful analogy for coming out of, I'm going to call it depression. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What exactly? So was it not medication, not therapy? Was it just on your own and just informing yourself? How exactly did you go about that?
Yeah. I mean, first I want to affirm what you were saying. I relate so much to what you said about when you're feeling sick and tired and in pain, right? You're not really thinking about what you're putting into your body or how you can get better rest, because you're really in that fear mode at that point. And so I definitely was there. And if I could just go back a step and say that, like, those were my first steps, right? Realizing I'm only drinking Diet Pepsi and eating Hershey's chocolate because I feel nauseous all the time. My body can't really function on that and can't get well. So I started working on my food, and then started working on some, like, helping my body supplement some vitamins or minerals that it was lacking, and then working on exercise. And so because I had never really dug into these unconscious personality traits that I had of perfectionism and people pleasing, I just used those things to ratchet that up a notch, right? Wow. So I over-controlled my food until it was, too much control of the food. There was no joy there. Probably wasn't eating enough. And did the same with exercise until it was like a punishing extent, mm-hmm. thinking I was healing myself, but really just over controlling and over perfecting. And so, yeah, from the other side of that depression, because when I was in it, I just couldn't really see, but luckily, spring came around, like metaphorically, but also literally. And I could start to see just how deep and dark things got. And that's definitely a mental emotional place, right? But the first thing I did was go to something a bit more superficial. So I started taking vitamin D, which I think is probably a good idea for anyone with seasonal depression. And then I went to this chiropractor searching for a probiotic and start beginning to understand the link between our gut health and our overall health. Mm-hmm. And I was confused by that. But again, this is a superficial fix, like thinking I could buy a pill mm-hmm. and that would solve my problems. And luckily for me, she calls herself a chiropractor, but does a lot of holistic healing techniques. She saw right through like this facade that I had. And I said, I want a probiotic. Give me a probiotic. And she said, well, let's try working on these things. So she did some somatic healing, like some somatic body work with me that kind of unlocked some of this repressed trauma, this emotion. And she did some energetic work. And I was super skeptical of that. I went out looking for people to tell me not to do it. And they were like, we've tried everything else. Why wouldn't you just do that? And that was kind of just like opening the door to the fact that I needed to keep doing that kind of work. And luckily for me, there was a lot of synchronicity at the time. So I was reading Brené Brown and learning about shame and how to let go of that. I was reading Glennon Doyle and learning about these addictions that are socially acceptable. For me, it was perfectionism and people-pleasing. And then I was learning about the healing effects of journaling. So I was journaling. I was beginning to meditate. So it just happened that I was doing all of these things at once and really guided by my intuition. Eventually learning how to love myself enough to heal, not just to heal for my own children. And then I don't know why it worked this way. It could be like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But two of the final resources I found were by Gabor Mate, When the Body Says No, and then Bessel van der Kolk's The Body Keeps the Score, which really affirmed this connection between our emotional health, right? What that does to our nervous system, what those chemical hormonal responses do, and then these chronic diseases that I had, you know, lung disease, heart disease that I was searching for validation through MDs or prescription meds. And that just helped me keep going down that path. Mm-hmm. That was a long answer to your short question. I hope that was okay.
No, I'm delighted listening to you. I have so many touch points. One is what you mentioned about your teachers, the teachers that appeared as you were getting ready to receive their knowledge are so common to me as well. And I see myself in that journey of with Brené Brown and with Glennon Doyle. And I also read the Deborah Mate's book. And I also wanted to point out, if you listeners at home, if you haven't read the book, it's so interesting because he breaks it down into different chapters, one dedicated to cancer specifically, one to diabetes, one to hypertension. I don't exactly remember, but I remember paying very close attention to the cancer one, and how exactly what you're saying, our mind processes will eventually show up as a symptom in the body. And if we don't pay attention to it soon enough, then it'll keep on showing those symptoms, and the symptoms may actually aggravate. Mm-hmm. And we started by saying this even before recording, we're not going to take this down the blaming road. It's absolutely not. And in fact, I get very pricky when I hear people say those things. It's because you didn't do this, therefore this happened. It's not a cause and consequence necessarily, but it's good to keep our eyes open, our minds open, and our intuition open to what's really going on inside. And I'm talking nonstop, but I just want to say one more thing is, here on Mind Bloom, we talk so much about self-advocacy as a patient, and as in particular a breast cancer patient, and in particular in the cases of younger women who are dismissed, I think that is the right word, by their doctors. You're too young, you don't have a family history, it's probably nothing. And we keep, in the tone of self-advocacy, we keep repeating, know your body, know mm-hmm. your ailments, or know your symptoms, feel what's really going on, and then push for an answer.
Yeah. This is a common thread with autoimmune disease and chronic illness sufferers as well. And I'm sure part of it is being a woman and just having a softer voice and feeling like you can't speak up. And there are common threads between personality types and these things that present themselves. And so I think it is common for autoimmune disease sufferers and possibly breast cancer sufferers, that it is our personality type to kind of not rock the boat, right? To lay back and to, you know, not upset anyone. But I do encourage people that what I have learned is there are so many doctors out there. And if you are not a good fit with someone, it may just be that you are not a good fit with someone. So keep looking until you find someone that is a good fit for you. And also what you said, I mean, so much of my healing was just learning to trust my own intuition enough to let it lead me down the next step, right? Down the next path, or just one step at a time. And that's hard to do if you're in a place of doubt, for sure. And when we're not feeling well, we're tired, we're sick, we're worn out, we do tend to blame ourselves or excuse it away or not listen to what I call the whispers. Like you said, it builds, right? So there are whispers. We ignore those until they really start screaming at us. And ultimately, if we could just take back our own power and trust ourselves and keep looking until we find the right fit for us. I know they're out there because I have some really great doctors now that recognize all of these things that we're talking about in our own healing, and also give me the time and space to talk to them about what's important to me and treat me in that way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, medicine is so evolved. When I say that some doctors dismiss the patients, I'm definitely not putting conventional medicine on the side. I'm in mm-hmm. a very awkward way trying to say, yes, look for a second opinion, look for someone else you'll resonate with mm-hmm. more. It's nothing about you. It's yeah. not that you're not understanding what the doctor is saying, or you're not allowed to ask questions. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe that it's not a good fit. That
is. Yeah, I think you said it well. I didn't hear any shaming of the medical community, but I do think it's so common, and we just need to continue to empower patience to trust their own body, their own intuition, and keep looking until they find, you know, what they're seeking.
Mm-hmm. Could I please ask you a little bit more to describe in your case what the perfectionism and the people pleasing translated as, and then how you transitioned?
So what happened throughout my childhood kind of helped me, or caused me to believe that, number one, acceptance meant continually getting better and more perfect at things, making people happy. And it was also a way of just pushing down, suppressing these things that happened to me and never dealing with them, so that I didn't even have to see them. I didn't have to deal with them, I thought, right? And I could keep people at arm's length. So they never really saw the real me. I didn't even really know the real me. I just knew very well how to please others and how to make myself appear perfect, right? I was never perfect. I knew that. Other people knew that. But I was continually trying to be more and more perfect. And so for me, that showed up in being a teacher first off, because that was my first big job. And I just continued to get better and better at that and please other coworkers, take on a lot of work that I probably should have or could have said no to. So saying yes a lot, appearing to be perfect, appearing to have it all together, never really talking to others about the struggles I was going through. And then really just extending that to the rest of my life, right? To my work as a wife, my work as a mother, continually trying to just be perfect at all of those things. Never make mistakes, never show my burnout or frustration or troubles or worries. And so on the outside, it may unconsciously look like I have it all together. I know what I'm doing. And on the inside, I'm putting my system in that fight or flight mode. You know, I'm just saying yes to everything. I'm go, go, going. I'm never expressing what's going on with me emotionally. I'm never asking for help. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's how it showed up for me. And again, those were coping mechanisms that, are very socially acceptable. People like it when you look like you've got it together. They like it when you're doing things that make them happy. And so the transition out of that was sloppy and messy, and I'm still going through it. When you move from people-pleasing and this perfectionistic type of personality to something that feels more vulnerable and real, it means creating and setting boundaries that you didn't have before, which sounds like no, which makes some people upset, right? And so some people naturally left my life, which left room for more loving, supportive people that could support this transition to come in, but that wasn't easy. It meant a lot of really open, vulnerable conversations with my husband saying, this is what I'm going through. This is how I need your support. And luckily, I'm so grateful that he supported that and came along with me. Again, that didn't always look pretty, right? A lot of tears, some arguments, some frustration on both sides. I'm changing who I am and how I'm living in the world. And he came along with me and supported that. And then just learning to find a love for myself unconditionally, right? So forgiving myself for these personality style, these coping mechanisms and what it led to in my life, so that I could move forward and learn who I was and what I wanted. And so I would say that self-love probably came last, but that was the way that I could truly access my intuition, be okay with moving forward with it, and then be okay with failing if it didn't work out, right? And as an extension, loving myself was really the best way I could learn to truly love others. Being vulnerable with others, with myself, was a way that I could truly accept others, their faults, their vulnerabilities. Still working on all of that. When things get rough, I always want to go back to my old coping mechanisms. And so I have to remind myself, you know, what I'm doing and where I'm going and why I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I hear everything you're saying. Yes, check, check, check. It all makes so much sense. And we are indeed a work in progress. We're never going to arrive. But that's a good thing. We're always going to be learning and growing. There's always more room for improvement and for more people in our lives. Mm-hmm. And more books and more podcasts. And right. I have to say books such as Brené Brown's and others, and certain podcasts, namely mine, because, you know, the people I meet on here is just incredible, a blessing and a gift. But podcasts, books, audiobooks have been my teachers as well throughout this journey. And it's true, we always, when things get rough, we always curl up and want to go back to those nasty habits. But it's just a matter of keep on pushing, and giving yourself grace.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have to tell myself often, and it seems to come up in conversation often, there's no arriving, right? Every time I think, oh, I'm there, I got rid of that, or, you know, I don't have to deal with that anymore, something comes back to remind me that I still have work to do. Mm-hmm. And there's a peace in just accepting that and settling into that and knowing I know how to take care of myself in a way that will remind me, you know, what I want to do and how I want to move forward with my life. So I totally agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trust yourself. Those are key words as well. Mm-hmm. Trust that the decision you're making is the right one and that you're in the right place at the right time with the right mm-hmm. people. Those are all new habits, new paths that we have to start opening in our minds rather than mm-hmm. Treading down the old ones.
Yeah. And I think we'll help with overall health, right? If we trust ourselves, it won't feel so weighty to advocate for ourselves and our health, right? We're trusting our own inner guide, what we feel and know to be true. And if we're wrong, so what? Yeah. That's how we learn, right? And sometimes I'm wrong and that's okay too. It's not easy always, but it's okay.
Mm-mm. Yes. Do you have any last words for the people at home?
I would just say that two of the biggest steps in my own healing were first becoming aware of my thought patterns, the stories I was telling myself. And in that awareness, just hearing, observing without judging, right? And then from that place of non-judgmental awareness, I was able to detach or untangle from those stories so that I could write new ones possibly, but just ultimately detach from what I thought I was and what I identified with, right? So I am not my body. I am not my diagnosis. I am not my pain. I am not my mom or my dad or my car or my house. I mean, whatever the story is that you're telling yourself that might be creating the shame or the weight or fear or whatever it is. The truth is, I am not that. I existed long before all of those things and after I've been able to detach from them. And so I think from those two steps, awareness and detachment, so much good can come when you move forward from those places, you know, not identifying with them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful words. I look forward to reading your book. And I look forward to staying connected with you. This was a pleasure having you. And I wish you all the best, Debbie.
Thank you, Marina. This was completely my pleasure. And I look forward to continuing to hear your podcasts and staying connected as well. So thank you so much for having me.